6th chapter, and just stay there. I'll quote a few other things to you, but that's where we're going to stay at tonight. My desire is for you to get something and not a lot of little pieces. Are you feeling me? So whether it's preached or taught or both, I want you to get the message tonight. At the beginning of the year 2007, I spent some time with the Lord on my face in prayer and fasting, and I really believe that God is trying to position us for what he is doing right now. Not what he did 20 years ago. Yes. I bought my own amens. Yes. And you know what? I'm going to be so transparent with you tonight, and I try to do that every time, but how many of you know that as God began to strip you? See, there's no one-time stripping with God. Do you hear what I'm saying? Each level that he takes us to, there's a stripping. Come on. God is constantly dealing with us in various areas, and we need to take the wisdom of Paul when he said, I haven't arrived, because none of us have, but we're still growing in the grace, come on, and in the knowledge. And the thing that stays with me that God said to me at the beginning of this year, he said, Olivia, it's time for us to shift. It's time for us to shift. To shift from what? That comfortable and safe place. I've got to be honest with you. God has been stretching me for these last 3 months, and I can't tell you that I haven't been scared to death. But before I get into Daniel, the 6th chapter, we're gonna go into Daniel because I want to show you some truths in that 6th chapter. Amen? I want to show you where God wants us to get to, because we know where we are. I mean, we spend a lot of time on managing our images, if you will. I came to be real this weekend. You know that. We spend a lot of time managing our image. What I mean by that is we've learned how to professionally portray what we want one another to see. But we have to understand that we serve a God whose eyes go to and fro throughout the earth. And he's beholding the good as well as the evil. And before I get any funny stares, this message is for me first and it's for you second. Because all of us, if we're not careful, we have the tendency to try to portray to those who we are impressed by to impress with an image that really isn't real. I don't know about you, but time is winding up for me, and I'm 52 years old, and I ain't got time to pretend or look like I'm something that I'm not. But I said, Lord, whatever it takes, even if I got to look like a fool publicly, God, do what you need to do in me so that I can be relevant for this end time. I've had to do some repenting at the beginning of this year, asking God to forgive me for prejudging certain situations and things, because sometimes when we're intimidated by the new, I'm going to help some of you tonight by being honest, we tend to reject it because it really doesn't fit what we're comfortable or used to. But I said, Lord, whatever you need to do, palace. Sometime you're going to get thrown in the pit. But how many of you know it's better to be thrown in the pit by man than to be put in a place by God? Come on. As long as God is on my side, I don't have to worry about what man does unto me. Because I know he has all power and all authority. But when she said that, I said, look at the mind of such a young, young girl. Understanding the importance of not following the crowd. Doesn't take anything to try to be like everybody else, but it takes strength of character, courage to stand up and say, I don't care how many are bowing in need of Baal, I refuse to bow. Daniel 6:1. I know something missing here. Hold on. The Holy Spirit didn't tell me this. Praise God. Now, I was blind, but now I see. Boy, Lafayette, it's been a while. I remember we had to wear these. All right, here we go. Daniel 6:1. I'm going to read a few verses, and then we're going to just kind of pick this chapter apart and bring out some things in the verses, and we're going to bless you and pray for you, and you're going to give a wonderful offering, and you're going to get saved, and we're going to go home. How's that? Sound good to you? All right. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them. and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred, say preferred, above the presidents and princes because an excellent, say excellent, spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought, look at the timing of this, to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together the king, and they said unto him, King Darius, live forever. And all the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake unto the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save, O thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, this thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh this his petition 3 times a day. I must stop right there. I'm not going to read this whole chapter, but what I want to say is that the story goes on to tell. You can read it in your own time. The story goes on to tell how they had this little plot, and they begin to tell the king of what Daniel was doing, and you know the story that he was thrown into the den of lions. God rescued him out of it. But I want to go back to verse 3, and I want to just go through the verses and just pull some little nuggets out of the verses. Is that okay? All right, that's what I want to do. Get a sip of water first. Is it me or is it warm? Okay, I just want to make sure it's not. Praise the Lord. Long as we all warm, I'm all right. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, in verse 3, we see where it says that Daniel had an excellent spirit. And one of the things that I've learned in Christendom for 30 years, I've watched it growing up as a babe and maturing in the Lord and going through the ranks and just observing that mediocrity always attacks excellence. Anytime someone makes up their mind that they are going to be a standard for God, you have set yourself in a position to be attacked. And I don't really have to be a rocket scientist to figure out why. It's something about human nature that when a person is excelling in something, people tend to get intimidated by other people's success when we need to be happy for them. See, when you're jealous of your sister or brother because of what's taking place in their life, you have to understand there were some things that had to be done before they could get to that place of promotion. It amazes me, Lafayette, that most of the people that attack people who have an excellent spirit are the ones who have a lazy spirit. They don't pray. They're too greedy to fast. They're not seeking God. They come to church once a week and want somebody to raise them from the dead. But I'm not speaking to everybody tonight. I said, Lord, let it be an accurate word for the house. But how many of you know, even if you come with a word that is so close and you can hear God's voice coming from heaven, some people just ain't gonna get it. But you got to understand something. God is trying to position his people. In every generation, I'm feeling this thing right now, and I'm going back. God takes a people out of a people. I'm still questioning God's decision on me. And don't tell me after the service, Livy, you shouldn't be negative. Shut up. You got to understand what I say when I say this. I'm still questioning God's decision for including me based on what I know about me, based on my understanding and perception of spiritual things, but I'm glad that he did. And I'm glad that I've come to a place of maturity that I can accept the fact that I don't need to be insecure about what I don't have. I just need to work what I do have. I need to work on it. I need to allow God to cultivate that thing in me. I need to let, come on here now. But I do believe that if I live a life of obedience and total surrender to God, the things that I don't know, he'll show me. Daniel had an excellent spirit. It caused him to stand out above the rest. And you have that in every church that you go to. And if I guarantee you, if you know somebody with an excellent spirit, all you got to do is look a little close behind them. You see the haters. And that's why I'm so glad that God don't move us swiftly from one level to the next, because he has to keep us in a holding pattern for time to time, no matter how gifted and how articulate and how anointed we are, because he knows he's got to work some things in us for the level that we're going to, because the more he moves us up, the higher and the hotter it's going to get. I can't tell you the times I said, Lord, I'd rather be back preaching to a couple of hundred folk. I didn't have the troubles that I got right now. I'm not ego tripping. I'm not trying to go to the multitude. That's some real stress. But how many of you know we can try to be a Jonah all we want to? God doesn't call those that think they got it together. He's calling those that know that they don't have it together. But Daniel had an excellent spirit. And when I look at Daniel, the fourth verse, it talks about how the beginning of this conspiracy starts. Look at it. It said the presidents and the princes. Now, I want to show you how this thing shifts. I want to show you how it changes. So first we see that Daniel has this excellent spirit, and he has a place of authority, a place of honor. And then all of a sudden, now we're not talking about the little peons. We're talking about presidents and princes, leaders. And you know what? You can be in a place of leadership, but if you don't have character in that place, it's just a matter of time before you get moved out by God. Man might tolerate you, but God won't use you, baby. Because God is looking for somebody that understands that whatever you got, I gave it to you. It says they sought to find. That needs to be our testimony. People shouldn't be able to just look at your life and it's so raggedy. And look at my life and it's so jacked up that they don't have to go far to be able to have something against you. We should live a life in such a way. Oh, my God, are you listening to me? I was wondering why I wrote this down, but now I understand why. Our lives should be lived in such a way that they have to search out and seek out and even got to lie about your life. And in Romans 12, 16, I'm just reading it to you quickly out of the Amplified version. It says, live in harmony with one another. No, that's not the one I want. Hold on. Hold on, this is the one, sorry. It says, Romans 13, 14, it says, but clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and make no provision for indulging the flesh. Put a stop to thinking about the evil cravings of your physical appetite to gratify its desires and lust. You know, the reality is that when we all came to Jesus, we didn't know we was going to have to give up as much as we gave up. Let's just be real about it. Had they told me everything I would have to do, I think I would have said, I'll catch you later. All right, y'all going to be deep in here tonight. But we see this conspiracy by these leaders trying to set Daniel up only because he had an excellent spirit. Now, what is the purpose of what I'm doing here tonight? I am challenging us tonight to move beyond the status quo. I am challenging us tonight to move into the place that was ordained before the foundation of the world when God made you, and whatever he had in mind for your life, that you move into that thing right now. We don't have as much time as we think we do. And here they are starting their little diabolical plot to set Daniel up. And then in verse 5, you see where the plot unfolds. They said, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. And see, it's something about your enemies. Don't be deceived. They'll study you. They watch what you do. See, they're observing you when you're not thinking about it. So a wise woman told me one time, Olivia, watch what you say when you're around a group of people, because sometimes people will pick up on every word you're saying. And they'll use that thing. Come on. And so you've got to watch your words. But we see where verse 3, he had an excellent spirit. Verse 4, it was the beginning of a conspiracy. Verse 5, the plot unfolds. Verse 6, we see them presenting this thing to the king. Come on. They presented to the king in verse 6. They came and they said, oh, King Darius, live forever. I learned something from these two verses. I'm going to tell you what it is when I read verse 7. All the presidents of the kingdom and the governors and the princes and the counselors and the captains. Now, isn't that interesting? When you go back to verse 4, I'm confused. I didn't catch it. I've been reading this thing for a long time. Up there, it just said the presidents and the princes. It's amazing when you read how you can miss stuff. But see, even your enemies will get together when it, come on. First, it started out with the presidents and the princes. Now, when we get down to verse 7, it's the presidents, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together. Have consulted together. It didn't say they came together to the king. It said we've consulted together. Now, I don't see anywhere from verse 4 to verse 7 where all of these folk got together. Are you hearing me? There is no proof in this text that they consulted together, because I only see the two groups up in verse 4 putting this thing together. It's something about jealousy and envy. Come on, the javelin of jealousy. It will destroy you. And I'm sitting here looking at this, and I said, now that it came to the king, what can we learn from the king's response? When you're in leadership, you got to watch folk that come up and want to honor you. Because most of the time, there's a hidden agenda. Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, King, live forever. And I know that must have felt good to his flesh. And see, as leaders, we've got to be careful when people come up to us and they want to honor us. And so the whole thing was based on them trying to get Daniel. Had nothing to do with their love for the king. Had nothing to do with their loyalty to the king. Had nothing to do with the king really at all. But they was using him as a pawn. Are you hearing me? See, we need to just stop talking about the lion's den all the time. Let's get a little deeper. They was using the king. What does that teach me, Olivia? Don't let somebody use you to destroy somebody else's life. Oh, are you hearing me tonight? I know it ain't a shout message, but it's real anyhow. And so they present this thing to the king, and in verse 7, they have this hidden agenda. Don't let people flatter you. Verse 8, as we go down, we see how they use the law to condemn Daniel. Very shrewd devils. First, they set it up. Oh, are you listening to me? I'm going to stop reading over here. I'm just going to go with my notes right now, and if it's okay, because it'll help me to move swifter. First, they set the thing up. And then they come back around through the back door. See, that's how them devils are. They're shrewd. They're very shrewd. And they use that same law because the king was ego tripping, felt good, wanted everybody to worship him. It's not that he didn't know about Daniel's God, because when you look further in the text, you'll see that he talks about it. So he knew about the God of Daniel. But he was so in love with himself, if you will, that he was happy that somebody wanted to worship him for 30 days. Got to watch that. The applause of man is fickle. But when you hear the applause coming from the throne of grace, that's when you better get excited. I don't know about you, but I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I know it's hot. I know you're tired. Some of you work. But hear what I'm saying. God is saying that he wants to use his body. There's an expression with the military. We're looking for some good men. We need a few good men. That's what God's looking for tonight. Verse 9, we see where the king was deceived. Verse 10, I got to read this. This one is good. We see the steadfastness of Daniel's life. And I'm going to stay here for a few minutes because I got time. I'm doing good with my time, Pastor. I want to stay here for a few minutes because I want to teach us why we get frustrated in our walk. Look at verse 10. When Daniel knew that the writing was signed. See, God ain't going to have you ignorant to anything. Daniel knew what was going on. He went into his house and his windows being open. He didn't do like the disciples when Jesus was taken and run and hide. He didn't cuss and say, I don't know the man. See, I'm not trying to be smart. And they was physically with Jesus. Are you listening to me? Blessed are they who believe and have not seen. But Daniel didn't go and become this secret agent Christian. But he said, listen, I don't care what decree was signed, and I don't care what man says, but I know that I have to answer to God. He opened up his window, come on, and it says he began to pray. He kneeled on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I said, I'm going to tell you why we get frustrated. Where we've missed it. See, Daniel is teaching us something tonight if we want to catch it. And we need to catch it in the spirit. See, we are struggling trying to be faithful, first of all, to a church, to an organization, to a man, to a woman. And it'll never happen if you are not faithful to God first. I'm talking about godly leadership. Come on. If you can't get with it, find another church. But we're trying to do that. But what I learned from this text is this. Daniel had a relationship. And see, what we're trying to do, didn't I say I'm going to teach you why we get frustrated? See, I had to learn some things the hard way like some of you too. We are frustrated because we're trying to get committed to something that we don't have relationship with. Can I take my time? See, if there is no relationship, there is no commitment. That's why the Bible says, if you love me, meaning that we don't have to love him. But if we love him, he said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to keep my commandments. And how can you love somebody that you don't know? So it all ties back into relationship. And because Daniel had a relationship, when the heat was turned up, Daniel didn't have to go into a panic. Daniel didn't have to start rebuking the devil. Daniel didn't even say anything against those that were coming up against him. Isn't that a place of maturity? God help me to get there one day. Daniel wasn't trying to defend himself because even though it doesn't say it in this text, but I believe Daniel had enough wisdom to understand that vengeance is mine, saith God, I will repay. Daniel didn't waste time talking to the gainsayers because he understood through relationship. If I don't press nothing else this weekend, relationship. See, some of us think because we came down to the altar 50 years ago, said, I accept Jesus, go to Bible school, got a piece of paper, got a card, got a few engagements that we know God. You can have all of those things and not have relationship. God wants us to come out of busyness and move into productiveness. He wants us to come out of professing but not possessing. When I think about the story of Jesus, when he cursed the fig tree, I feel my help right now, Lafayette. And when he cursed the fig tree, why was Jesus so adamant about cursing that thing? Because it had leaves on it. And when you look at it, it looked like it was a good tree. But it wasn't. It didn't have any fruit on it. And see, a lot of times we can have the appearance of a thing. We can look good, talk good, praise good. Some of y'all looking kind of strange, but it's all right. You're going to get with me after a while. And we have all of the motions and all of the mannerisms and all of the Christian cliches, but there is no relationship. I'm going to tell you how to go home and prove whether you have it for yourself or not. Do you love? Do you love? He said, the world will know you, not by how many degrees you got, not by how you break it down in the Greek and the Hebrew, not by how articulate or how charismatic you are, but the world will know you by the love that you have one for another, baby. That's what it's all about. That love walk. See, you don't hear a lot about the love walk no more, but you know what? It's necessary. You know why? Because the thing that I learned years ago when I was a babe in Christ, and my pastor way back then used to teach on love, I said, oh my God, love. All right, I know what you love. Care about people. I was ignorant. I ain't know no better. But what I understand as time went by, that it takes a great amount of maturity. Glory to God. For us, see, we think that's elementary, but it's deep. You got to have maturity to be able to walk in love. You got to have maturity to pray for those which despitefully use you. You've got to have maturity to love your enemies, baby. Daniel kept on doing what he was doing. He wasn't moved by what was happening, and he had enough sense to realize that this decision could cost me my life, but it's all right. Reminds me of the Apostle Paul when Agabus came in there and asked whose girdle it was. And he said, this man gonna say, he said, look, not only am I willing to suffer, brother, don't be confused. Let me give you some revelation here tonight. I'm also willing to die for what I believe. Now, I could try to be super spiritual and press you tonight and say, I'm willing to. I hope I am. I hope if that day ever comes that I can stand the test. But see, what prepares me for that is what I do day by day, day by day, knowing him more, loving him more, obeying him more. So this Daniel, God is calling us out of mediocrity, out of that comfortable, safe place where we feel adequate. I guarantee you, if you feel adequate in what you're doing now, you haven't moved fully over to where God wants you to be at. Oh, come on now. Amen, Olivia. See, I can tell when I haven't moved all the way over because I'm still comfortable. I still feel like I can handle this. But whenever you get to a place where you feel like, Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to make the biggest fool out of myself. And you know what I thought, Lafayette? I really got deceived. I thought after longevity, at least my knees would stop shaking so much. But have you ever understood why I wear so many long skirts? Because they still shake. And I'm not ashamed to tell you. Not shaking for fear whether you're going to accept me or not. But shaking for fear that when I leave out here, God will say, you didn't do what I told you to do. Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. So this Daniel, he didn't blend in. He blended out. He had an excellent spirit. They plotted on him. They tried to do everything they could to destroy him. And you see in verse 10 where he was steadfast. Verse 11 and 12, when the enemy begins to move. Verse 13, I want to key in on that one. I don't have time to do every one, but certain ones I think we need to speak about. Did you catch that part in 10 when I said we're trying to be committed to somebody that we don't have relationship with? Are you listening to me? That's why it's easy for folk to just leave their husbands and wives. There's no relationship. Now, some people need to leave. Don't go into bondage, because some of you married some real devils. Don't let the church put you in bondage. He whipping you up like Mike Tyson. Get out of there. Let's bring some balance. Oh, don't get in no bondage. He got a knife over your head every night you're going to sleep, honey. Leave that devil. Because I tell people, I don't do that fighting thing. I'll be behind prison bars handing out tracts. Jesus saves. My calling ain't going to leave me, but just the place of my calling will. I don't play that. All right, let's get back. I had to make you laugh because some of y'all been looking intense all night. So if you don't get too many things, I want you to get these important points. It's hard to be committed. See, you can do a little service in the church, and you can be committed every now and then, and you'll pay your tithes every other week, and, you know, you can work it like that. Keep your conscience clear. Commitments we make, we can break them. No relationship. Boy, y'all quiet. But when there's a relationship, there's commitment, there's responsibility, there's accountability. Some people say, I ain't answering to nobody, not even God. And they live their lives. They may not say it, but they live their lives. That's a dangerous place to be in. Spiritual suicide is not having any desire for the things of God. And you got people sitting up in the church week in and week out that have no desire. Some people come in here looking for a man, some looking for a woman. People come to church for different reasons. Don't be impressed. Don't be impressed. Some of these men looking for a good Christian wife. Some of these women, they looking for a man. I don't know about you, but if I come to church, I'm looking for God. Because that's who I need. Verse 13, I told you, the accuser attacks. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel. Now, they didn't set all this plot up and they didn't did all this mess. And the king an ego trip and signed a thing and got all excited and thought that it was about him and it had nothing to do with him. Ain't nothing worse than the old fool. And then verse 13, but I want to show you how the enemy operates, though. Look at verse 13. This is going to help us here. Listen to this. It's simple, but, you know, sometimes you can get some deep stuff out of simple things. It says, then answered they that said before the king, that Daniel. Just that expression itself comes with a whole lot behind it, that Daniel. Now, when you hear that Lafayette, does that sound inviting to you? Does it sound warm? It sounds like there's some contention behind that thing. I mean, I'm not a scholar, but when I heard that Daniel, I really thought that it had something behind it. See, it's not in the multitude of words that we can get the meaning of a thing. It's the words that are spoken. That Daniel, first of all, they had issues with Daniel. Why? Because the boy had an excellent spirit. But it says, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah. When I read that, I said, isn't that interesting? So the accuser attacks Daniel, then he goes to his roots, and then he goes to his person. Are you catching that? Where Daniel is in the beginning of this text is not where Daniel always was. And they wanted to bring up, he was from the children of the captivity. Come on. Does that sound familiar? Do you see where I'm going with that? I remember him when he was out there smoking pot. I remember her when she was out there on Main Street. I remember him when he was doing such and such. See, that's what the enemy will do. He will always go back when he ain't got nothing up here to try to pull you back and to try to tear you down. But thanks be to God for Paul. He said, I'm forgetting those things which are behind me, and I'm pressing, Melinda, toward the mark of the Most High God. And while I'm pressing, listen, I got to keep my eyes on Jesus, who is what? The author and the finisher of my faith. Can I tell you something that's going to help you tonight? If you keep dwelling on the negative things of your past, you will never absolutely make it. And when I say past, I'm not talking 10 years ago. I'm talking yesterday. I'm talking about earlier today. Because anything that has transpired in your life and in my life, there is absolutely nothing that we can do anything about. And so they felt the need to say, that Daniel, this is where he came from. This is who he is. But see, you've got to have enough understanding of who God has made you. See, I don't care who you are. I don't care what your background is. I don't care whether you was born in a ghetto like Olivia or whether you was born in a mansion in Bel Air. Understand one thing. We were all born with infinite value. I don't care who we are and what we have and what we don't have. When God made us, he made every one of us priceless, baby. There is absolutely nobody like you. And so I don't want you to think that this is a message that's spanking us and whipping us. God is saying, listen, I'm tired of the image. I want to see the image of my son, not what you're trying to portray. Are you hearing me? So understand one thing. What can we learn from this? We can learn that as soon as we move into a place of excellence, that there are going to be spirits that are going to come and that are going to congregate and that are going to plot and scheme. I'm not talking about everything is the devil, but understand something. You learn something from this text. A lot of things change, but human nature doesn't. Are you hearing me? And these are leaders that are plotting against Daniel. Come on. People in high places. See, the devil's not going to use somebody that's not effective. As soon as you make up in your mind that I want to really know this God, I guarantee you. And for me, I always know when I'm really being effective for God. Not by the accolades of man. I don't put no cloud in that. You love me today, I'm a prophet tomorrow, I ain't nothing. I don't put cloud in that. I don't build my security on man's opinion about me. Do you understand what I'm saying? But I always know when I'm effective. Why is that? Because my kids start acting crazy. Oh, I'm testifying right now. They acting crazy up in here. And I'm not going to get into no details. But I can always tell when I'm hitting it right. Because the devil knows how I feel about my children. He knows that I pride myself in being a good mother. And teaching them and training them and showing them the way to go. And when I'm getting very effective, he got them acting like they demon possessed. But I'm saying it publicly to say, devil, shoot your best shot. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm never going to hang my head down based on anything that somebody else does. So if you hear something about my kids, it's probably true, but it's all right anyhow, because it ain't got nothing to do with Olivia Mitchell. For God, I'm a live, and for God, I'm a die. Ain't no devil in hell going to stop me from moving and serving my God. I ain't ashamed to tell you. They act like they're losing their mind. But it's all right. And guess what? I got a praise testimony. I don't lose no sleep. I sleep and snore good every night because I have put my Isaacs on the altar. They belong to you, God. I've trained them and showed them the way. If they want to act like they lost their mind, it's all right, baby, because it ain't no reflection on me. And I know y'all sitting back saying, she got three. I wonder which one. None of your business. Sometimes it's one, sometimes it's two, sometimes it's all three of them. But it's all right anyhow. Because I plan on living a life of excellence. I plan on moving from that safe place and allowing God to do what he needs to do. And whatever happens to me, I know that I'm in God's hands. Because he said, he that dwelleth, I got to get my little preaching, in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide, shall remain, shall stay, shall dwell under the shadow of the Almighty. Stop being embarrassed to come to church because your kids acting like a fool. That's them. You don't need to wear that shame, baby. You're walking with God. You're talking with God. And see, that's what your enemies will do, too. If they ain't got nothing on you, they'll try to make you feel bad about your kids. The devil is a liar. You can't make nobody do right if they want to do wrong. So they're going to try to grab. When I need to start the altar call in about another few minutes. All right, good. But he had an excellent spirit. We saw the plot unfold. I hope you're getting something from this text. Are you seeing some things? I mean, I got excited when I saw it. But you know what? And when you look at verse 14, the king was grieved based on his bad decision. And see, as leaders, we got to be quick to hear and slow to speak. We need to pray about important decisions before we just jump up and say yes. Because sometimes people come with you with all that hidden agenda, their little agenda. You understand what I'm saying? Be swift to hear and slow to speak. And then you see in verse 15 where the enemy comes in for the kill. Oh, that's what he does. He comes in for the kill. Look at verse 15 real quick. It says, then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king. Let's skip on down here and go to 16. Then the king commanded and they brought Daniel and cast him. They didn't just tell the brother to walk in there. See, and you know why they casted him? I'm trying to connect this thing. I hope you're catching it. You know why they casted him? Because that Daniel. Oh, you got to hear it. Do you see the connection? And see, you wonder why when you come into the house of God or wherever you at in your prospective places, whether it's on a job and stuff, why do people react? I ain't did nothing to them, but that person. See, they already got something against you. And so, somebody going to catch this thing. So you walking around wondering what you did. You ain't did nothing, baby, but your life is shining so bright that they got to come up against you. They got to fight you. Verse 16, the king recognized Daniel's relationship with God. We must exemplify who God is. That means to show or illustrate by example. It's time out for talking it. You got to show it, baby. Do you hear what I'm saying? Verse 17, the situation looked hopeless. Daniel needed a miracle. Verse 18, the king was troubled. 19, king went to check on Daniel. 20, the king calls out to Daniel. 21, Daniel answers the king. It's funny when he called him with a, and you know, when you think of the lamentations of Jeremiah, you know, he lamented, you know, he was the weeping prophet. And see, it's amazing that this king, let's just put this together for a few minutes. It's amazing that this king knew about Daniel's God. He was grieved when he found out that he was tricked, made a fool of. See, that's why you can't, I've heard it said from you and many others, that you can't believe your own press. That's why you don't need to read it. Because then you start thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. And because he was in this place of deception, he opened himself up. Come on. And so here he is calling for Daniel. And the reason why I think it put emphasis on this, I think I got a minute to read this. The king called to him. What verse is that? 19. Good. You with me. I like that. Then the king rose very early in the morning and went in haste. He was rushing because he couldn't even sleep at night. Come on. He realized, how do you ever just sleep, just you lose sleep because you know you put yourself in a situation that was stupid. Come on. And then in verse 20 it says, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. Now, you got to understand something. Those words are put there for a reason. It could have just said he cried out to Daniel, but he cried with that kind of voice because he thought Daniel was shredded up to pieces. But when he found out that Daniel wasn't, his whole tune changed. Come on. And then in verse 22, it lets us know that Daniel reveals God's method of deliverance. Are you hearing me? And this is the problem with the saints. We got to get out of pride. When God bring you out of something, don't you act like you did it yourself. He said, the God that I serve, come on, he shut the mouth. An angel came. See, sometimes because of image management, I'm going back to that. We want to impress folk with how we came through. Man, she's a strong woman of God. He's a strong arm, baby. If but for the grace of God, we would have all lost our mind a long time ago. Come out of your pride. Verse 23, I'm almost done. Daniel comes out victoriously. Verse 24, Daniel's enemies are destroyed. Them same folk that set him up. And I'm going to tell you something, God don't play. Not only did he throw them boys in there, but he's like, you going, your wife is going, your kids is going. See, God will destroy the whole generation. Come on now. You remember Haman? Come on. In the book of Esther, see, he said, don't touch my anointed. Come on. You come up against God's anointed, he ain't going to just get you. He going to get your family, your kids, everybody. Even your relatives you don't like, they all going down. Daniel comes out victoriously. Daniel's enemies are destroyed, verse 24. Verse 25, a letter from the king. See, you know what I love about God? God will use heathen to proclaim his glory and his goodness. See, when the church don't do it like they're supposed to. Yeah, I'm closing. God will use the heathen to proclaim who he is. He sends this letter out to everybody, basically telling them, look, boys, Daniel's God is it. And everybody better recognize it or you gone. I just paraphrased it for time's sake. Verse 26, God is glorified. Verse 27, the great I am is praised. Verse 28, Daniel prospered. The conclusion of this is God desires for his children to not just be busy. I told you about that. Daniel wasn't just busy, but he was effective. And because he was effective and because he had relationship, which brought about commitment, I keep saying those things. I hope you see what I'm teaching here. Relationships brings about commitment. Commitment puts you in a place of responsibility where you can't be wishy-washy. You know that you're responsible and you are accountable. And that's why I tell leaders all over this country, I don't know if I shared it with you, but you will kill yourself trying to make people to be committed. I don't care whether it's to a building program. I don't care whether it's to a task that they have to do in the church. I'm just trying to help you. I don't care what it pertains to. You will kill yourself and have high blood pressure trying to make people be committed to something that there is no relationship with. And so what you have to continue to do as an apostle of this house is to teach people and show them the importance of building relationship with God. See, we teach a lot of the doctrines of the Bible, and I really feel like God's speaking right now, Lafayette. We teach a lot of the doctrines of the Bible, and we teach people a lot about certain things, but people need to learn how to get into relationship with God. Once they connect with God, then all of that other stuff that we're trying to get them to do, it's going to be an automatic because it comes with the territory. Stand on your feet. It's time out for busyness, but we've got to be effective. Will the musicians come, please? We've got to be effective. Say effective. Which means adequate to accomplish, listen to this, which means adequate to accomplish a purpose producing the intended or expected results. Can I repeat that one more time? It's time out for being busy. We need to be effective, which means adequate, are you hearing me, to accomplish a purpose producing the intended or expected results. Prepared and available for service. Saints of God, we've got to constantly examine our lives. Socrates said an unexamined life is not worth living. It's time to do the hard thing. I told you that early. Put time in with God. Well, how do I get a relationship with God? I'm glad you asked. The same way you get a relationship with your mother, your brother, your husband, your wife, your children, you spend time, you learn about them. See, there are people in this congregation that I have relationship with. It's not because I know their name. And you can always tell somebody that's insecure because they drop names. I know so-and-so. No, you know their name. Oh, I know Oprah. Yeah, you know her, but you don't know her. Oh, I know Lafayette. See, people do that because they want to impress. Let's get out of image management. Let's get delivered from that tonight. There's a lot of people I know that you would be impressed with, but I don't need to tell you because I'm not impressed that I know them. I admire people. I respect people, but I worship God. Final thing, there is no excuse for us not to be excellent. This is not my quote, but I heard it and I grabbed it. There is no excuse for us not to be excellent. You know why? Because we are containers whose contents are much bigger and greater than we are. I like that. No excuse. Because the one that knows all, the one that has all, the one that is all, the unchanging, immutable. We don't need any descriptive thing of God because he is, was, and always will be. Oh, my God. And I pray to God that there's some discernment in this house tonight, because if your ears were open, you heard a woman sweating herself to death trying to push you into the place that was prepared for you before you got here. It's time to shift, which means to move a person or a place or a thing to another place. If I want to get to California, I'm not going to get there standing on this step. I'm not going to get there. I can wish it all I want to, but I'm not going to get there. There's some things I need to do. There's some things you need to do. I'm going to let you do the altar call. I know you told me to do it, but I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to hand you this in 38 seconds. But what I want to say to you is this. I'm pleading with you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies. I didn't stay on that long. A living sacrifice unto God, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. You know why I'm saying that? We don't have time anymore to make excuses for pigging out and doing what we want to do. You know why? Because I don't care what God has for us to do. If we don't have a healthy body, we can't carry the vision. We need to start drinking water, come off all that fried stuff. There she go meddling. Because you know what? The world don't see the Holy Ghost. They see us. And we stand up and tell people that God can do anything. Well, then let us let him help us. God bless you. I love you. Make the shift.